As we continue, again, brethren, this is Jackson. We will be continuing from where we left off in the first epistle of John. First epistle of John, chapter 2. And I believe, if I remember, and he addressed them, sending words of encouragement, telling them how their sins are forgiven for his namesake, meaning Yeshua, of course, Yeshua's namesake, how, and commending them that they know him who is from the beginning, and how they have overcome the evil one, how they know the Father, and again, emphasizing, you know him who is from the beginning, and how the word of Elohim abides in them, and how they overcome the evil one. But notice, again, before we continue on with verse 17, with verse 18, notice how he says twice, he emphasizes twice, you know him who is from the beginning. For some, for at least a few years, it's not enough to just know about what the scriptures say about Elohim, his son, and his spirit. There's a difference about knowing what is said about someone than personally knowing that individual. So here we need to know Elohim. And it is a process. And it's a process that might happen quickly for some, and for others it may take a long time. We need to walk and make sure we're waiting on Elohim and not make any claims about knowing him, about knowing his son, his spirit, until that really happens. Okay, it's very important because we must have a spirit of truth at all times in these things. No one will enter the kingdom without first knowing the son. No one. It's impossible. We must literally know him. Today, we have people that just feel that, hey, we're getting baptized, and so I just got baptized, so I know Christ. He's my personal savior, that type of thing. No, it takes some time. We have to wait for him to make himself known to us. Maybe some of you, that has already happened. That's a wonderful thing. And you're blessed. But those of us perhaps that has not yet happened, we're still blessed. But we need to wait patiently for him to make himself known to us. And that's why that is so important, why the apostle says it twice. In verse 13, you know him who is from the beginning. And in verse 14, you know him who is from the beginning twice. Because that's very critical. Again, it's not enough to just know what the Bible says. That visit must take place. And when that visit comes, that's when we also receive our seal of the Spirit. Receive the seal of the Spirit. So he says these things. Then he tells us, as people who are of the nation of Elohim, as that song we started, the nation, the people, the nation for whom Elohim is for, in that light, do not love the world or the things in the world. We are not of the world, as the Master had said while he was on earth. You're not of the world. We are in the world. We're not of the world. We're in the nation, but we believe we belong to a nation that is above. We're in this city, but our city is in Shamaim, the Yerushalayim Kadash, the new Jerusalem, right? That's our true home. That's our true city. And we wait for it, just as the others, just as the other believers of old and wait for that city. So do not love the world or the things of the world. And I'm not going to go through what we said, but you know, the desires of the flesh and all these things, for all of that will pass away. And not just pass away on its own. But as we know, the other scriptures say it will pass away by the very act of Elohim through his son, who is judge, who will judge and make all things new. But whoever, verse 17, but whoever does the will of Elohim abides forever. Whoever does the will of the one who is in charge of his nation, holy nation, his peculiar people, we will abide forever. So let's continue now from verse 18, 29 actually. So it says, children, it is the last hour or the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last time, the last hour. Excuse me. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not, that they all are not of us. Let me read that again. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Verse 20. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have, and you all have knowledge. Let me stop here. I wanted to read, but I just want to, this needs a little clarification because I don't want people to get lost here. Remember who he is saying this to, because sometimes we misapply scriptures to ourselves when we're not, when that's not really a part of us yet. Remember, he said, your sins have been forgiven. You know him from the beginning. You have overcome. You know the Father. You are strong and you have overcome him. Those are the ones he's saying in verse 20, and you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. Okay, we'll revisit that again. That's very important to show the growth process. All we need to do is look at ourselves. Do we have all knowledge? When we're humbly struggling, trying to understand the calendar, right? How it works. We're not even 100% sure how his name is to be pronounced. There's so much we don't know. So we don't have all knowledge. And that's how we know. That's how we see ourselves. Remember, it says the word of Elohim is like a mirror. You could look at yourself and know what's going on. You can see your progression. But those that are sealed and anointed as such, you have all knowledge. And so this is why we say, we stress spirit and truth, for of such Elohim the Father seeks. Because when we can acknowledge our shortcomings, then we can receive. Then we can begin to receive more and more knowledge until we have all knowledge. But like he warns one of the churches, you say you are rich. We say we are rich. We say we have need of nothing. But he says, you're blind. You don't know that you're naked and you need you, but there's a solution. Buy from me. Buy from me, he says. So we need to be honest and about ourselves and know if we have truly been anointed with the Spirit or not. And that's how we know. When we measure ourselves, not against man, but we measure ourselves against the Torah, the instruction of Elohim. And he says, but you, verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. So let's continue with verse 21. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. You see, brethren, how much doctrine is in here? How rich. There's so much to say. This little chapter, we're not going to do that, but this could take really months if we're really going to digest everything that's here. But because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Yeshua is the Messiah. This is the Antichrist, the anti-Messiah, he who denies the Father and the Son. Without naming any names, just think about all the perceptions, all the people who do this. What does the Spirit through John say these people, this type of thinking is, this type of mindset is? Who is the liar but he who denies that Yeshua is the Messiah? Can we think of those who deny that are adamantly fighting against the teaching that Yeshua is the Messiah? And who are they? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. It's very clear. So then when I see some groups become so confused about who they're defending and who they have their allegiance to, siding on, Elohim sides with nobody. As Joshua learned when he asked, "Whose side are you on?" The angel of Elohim says, "I am the captain of the host of Elohim." So we are to make sure we have our allegiance right and not get confused defending people and things like that who we have no business defending. Okay? We need to be aware of this. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Verse 24. Let what you heard from the Bereshit, from the beginning, abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us. Let's repeat. Eternal life. And this is the promise that he made to us. Eternal life. Remember Yeshua's prayer? This is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua, your Son, right? Verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Verse 27, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Again, qualified by verses 12 and 14, this status of anointing. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Verse 28 to 29. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know, verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Amen. Guidance. There's so much guidance here. So much wonderful, rich teaching. So, I have a lot to say, but I'm going to keep this within the time frame. How much more time do I have before I continue? Okay. So, verse 18. It is the last hour. How many times you've heard year after generation after generation since the time since the destruction of the temple and way after in Protestant times, and oh, Yeshua is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Over 2,000 years later, that's we don't see that. And that's a bad thing. Because you know what the issue is? The issue is not with Yeshua's coming soon. The issue is with people, a lot of the people that are teaching the Bible, trying to preach the gospel, don't know what they're saying. Don't understand the coming of Messiah. Okay? There are many, there Yeshua came to Paul. Came to him, literally, came to him on the road of Damascus and converted him, and several times later came to him, kept coming to him. Who are you, Lord? He says. I am Yeshua, whom you're persecuting. So that when he comes to you, you're not baffled, you're not confused. Because there are many that are trying to deceive, as it says in verse 28. So the last hour is coming, and the Antichrist is coming. You've heard that Antichrist, because so many Antichrists have come. So because of that, just as you have heard, just as you have heard, Antichrist are coming. That's why. And so many have come. You were told, and now you see it. That's what he's saying. So many Antichrists have come. And today, people are waiting for, quote unquote, the Antichrist to come. Okay, we need to reconsider everything in spirit and in truth. Many things that I want to say, this is not a study of the book of Revelations, but many of the things that people are waiting for to happen have already happened. But they don't understand that because they're reading everything as if it's in their future, when a lot of it was for Jerusalem's future, was for the Roman Empire's future, the destruction of both of them during Caesar's time. Exactly. Thank you for this. So therefore we know that it is the last hour, he says. But many people are reading this as if it's talking about their time. This was John's time, and the people and the congregations that he was serving, that he addresses in the book of Revelation, the seven churches in Asia Minor, and everybody else that where this letter, his teachings are circulating. Therefore, we know that it is the last. They went out from us. From us. From us who? From the apostles, from that time, from John, from the true congregation, the Kahal, the true people that existed back then. They came from them and went out from them. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Now he says that it might become plain. Whatever makes manifest is light, right? So we know this was an act of Elohim, an act of Yeshua, a judgment of Elohim. He made sure those false ones, those anti-messiahs, could not stay in the company of the true believers. So it says, but they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. No tares among the wheat in the congregation of Elohim. For the congregation of Elohim must be pure. There can't be tares there. If the spirit of Elohim is truly there, the spirit of Elohim will drive them out. And sometimes the spirit of Elohim drives out the righteous from among the wicked. As he says, come out of her, my people, touch not the unclean thing. So sometimes he'll drive out the false from his congregation, and sometimes he'll take his congregation out of the false, right? Verse Fine. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not all of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Like I said, we must make sure we receive that anointing. Paul could not receive the anointing with all the reading of the Torah. It was impossible. Yeshua had to eventually meet him. Every single person that truly turned, had a visitation. The 12 apostles met Yeshua face to face. Jacob, before the covenant was made of him, had an encounter with the divine. Abraham, all of it, and so it continues to be. That hasn't changed. So let me just say the believer, this faith that we're told to contend to is a wonderful, powerful faith when it's done right. When it's done in spirit and in truth, we will experience amazing things. It's not one of those religions that's just another religion or it's just another belief system. No, it's a belief system that's provable, that has experiences that define it, that have experiences that proves it to all. See, so we can't continue doing what the other groups are doing, where it's just an intellectual and emotional experience, where every day people hear the word read and by some man, by some human being. We need to have the expectation of the visitation of the anointing of the Spirit of Elohim. And we know that happens when we find ourselves understanding all things. How do we know when we understand all things? We know we understand all things when we can prove it. That's how. When we can prove something without a shadow of a doubt, then we know it's the Eternal's anointing. And when that happens, two things happen when people hear. When a person has the true anointing of Elohim, two things happen. Many believe without a doubt, and a few, and sometimes many, reject it without reason. They can never have, but how they can never say, how about this or how about that? When people can say, how about this, how about that, it's because they don't understand. But once a person speaks with an anointing and the understanding comes, the hearers do one of two things: accept or totally reject it. That's what happens. You understand? So that's the evidence of having the knowledge that's anointed, because it's provable. It's provable. It's convicting. There's no word against it. There's no possibility against the teaching. There's no way. There's no possibility against it. And soon, what was taught was then made manifest. It also makes manifest. It also comes about because it's usually prophetic in nature. It does. I'm not saying it's like where it's talking about the future, but the person who's teaching teaches it flawlessly, and there's no reasonable argument against it. And then there are things that suddenly happen in society that proves what the teacher says. That's how you know. Okay? So verse 21, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And because no lie is of the truth. There's no error in the truth. There's no error. The truth is perfectly sound in every way. In physical things, in spiritual things. Like one truth will fit perfectly in everything. If it can't fit in everything Elohim created, then you know it's not true. It's flawed. Because the truth of Elohim will fit everything he has created. It will never contradict any physical or any spiritual thing that he has established. Who is a liar But he who denies that Yeshua is the Messiah. So I'm telling you, every religion, every thought that's actively against the concept of a Father and the Son, that Yeshua came in the flesh, that Yeshua was indeed the Messiah. The Spirit of Elohim through the Apostle John is letting us know that is Antichrist. That is what it is. Anti-Messiah. So you already know without me saying. This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. So whatever ideologies, groups, organizations that are teaching against, that denies the Son of the Son and the Father, they're liars and anti-Messiah. But this was happening at John's time. We have to understand that. This was happening at his time. And the believers at that time were facing that. A lot of persecution. When you read what was going on in, when you read the history, the first century, first, second history, first and second century history of the believers, then you understand. Then you will get a better understanding of the book of Revelations. Then we'll get a better understanding of the comings of Messiah, the coming of Messiah. There is an ultimate coming of Messiah towards the mid or ending of the seventh millennium, when the 7,000 year, our 7 million of this world before he returns, when Yeshua will return, when he will set up a kingdom on this earth. But let's not confuse every time where it says his coming, that it's talking about that. Because he came to Paul. He came to every believer. And he'll come to us too. And give us that anointing that we need. So they were fighting, they were being persecuted by the religious in Jerusalem. And they were being persecuted eventually by the Romans, when the Romans established emperor worship. And so that's when the persecution, that's when the Romans really started to persecute the Christians. But Yeshua, through his government, put an end to that. In the heavens, he put an end to the persecution of the congregations of Elohim and gave them rest for a time. And so anyway, let's continue. So let what you heard, whoever confesses, no, verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So it's more than say the Son. It's a confession. What's a confession? Something that you know absolutely. It's not something that you just believe in because you've heard it or you've read it. It's something that you've seen. You've become a witness to. And Elohim will make us all witnesses of his Son if we cry out for that, if we understand that's the New Testament doctrine. It's not just read your Bible and that's it. Every day, read the Bible. There's no difference than all the Old Covenant then, because that's what they were doing back then. Just listening to the law externally. Everything was external for the few that were the prophets who had his Spirit dwelling in them. But most of the Old Covenant times, the people did not have the Spirit at all. Only the few prophets did. But we are to have that Spirit. We are to be just like the prophets. That's the calling of the congregation of Elohim. For we are to have the Spirit of Messiah, and the Spirit of Messiah, as I said before, as found in the book of John, is the Spirit of prophecy. And as you see, the Apostle Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let me read that quickly, and I'm going to try to come to an end. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let me quickly turn that to you, and I encourage you, so you could understand this anointing, to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14 very carefully. Read that very carefully on your own time, so you could understand this anointing that John is talking about. But a quick view of it is in 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, which he speaks of in chapter 12 and through 13. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Especially. This is what the congregation of Elohim is truly about, and that's what we, as people who want to be accepted of Elohim, as his congregation, as his people, as his nation, we need to earnestly and make it our business to pray for that gift of prophecy. Because all the congregation, that's a basic gift we're supposed to have. Every member, to one degree or another, must have the spirit of prophecy, must have the gift of prophecy. But we need to pray for it. It's not just the one who's the past, quote unquote, pastor or bishop. From the young oldest to the youngest must have it. What did Peter say in the second chapter of Acts? For your sons, this is for you too. For your sons and for your children. So it's for the young and old in the congregation of Elohim to have the spirit of prophecy. So, dear brethren, if we've not been praying for it, let's pray for it earnestly, as Paul says. But read that on your own. So let me try to close, because I need to finish. So we see this is the spirit of Antichrist, to deny the Father and the Son. And whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. It has to be a confession through knowledge, through personal, face-to-face knowledge, spirit-to-spirit knowledge of not just what we're reading. Verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. All the doctrine, even as Paul says too in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the doctrines that we gave to you, he speaks of that, right? They were all the apostles were all they were all doing the same thing for the communities they were serving. So that which was from the beginning. So we have to make sure, brethren, that what we're believing are the things from the beginning, not the new stuff that's being taught by all these phony teachers. That when you ask them, they don't know. They have to go and check what the experts say. What the scholars say. No. These things are revealed to those who are babes in their hearts and mind. Not people who think not to intellectuals. No, they're revealed to people that are humble and loving and seeking after justice, mercy, and righteousness. Those are the ones that Elohim shows his truth. And his truth has been revealed and is recorded for us. It's recorded for us in these scriptures that we have here. It's recorded for us also in the teachings, dear brethren, of the first century teachers. And I tell you, Tertullian, Irenaeus, you can read those. I've read them. They're well aligned with scripture. Trust those more than anything else you'll hear today. Unless you've tested and seen and proven to yourself that whoever the teacher is, the modern day teacher today is, that he or she truly has the anointing of the Spirit, as it says in verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One and you have all knowledge. If that person who is teaching doesn't have all knowledge, can't tell you, then, you know, respect and love that individual, but don't take that person's teaching over what you've heard from the beginning. Go back, and thanks to the Lord, they're still preserved. You can find the teachings of Tertullian and of Irenaeus, the teachings of Clement. I encourage you, then you will see what the ancient congregation of Elohim believed. It's not the false things that are being preached today. They believed in the coming kingdom. They believed in repentance. They clearly teach the keeping of the commandments. And they also had a thorough knowledge a thorough knowledge of what was false. And they
define it so well. I mean, it's so amazing. Then you can see that truly they knew all things back then. Okay, brethren, so I'm going to end here. Because I want to be faithful. But if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Elohim. Do we understand it? Yeshua said the same thing too, said exactly, and he's repeating what Yeshua taught him. See, some people, oh, well, he or she is not a Christian. He or she is not, no. The Elohim loves the righteous, and every righteous person will be converted to Elohim at one point or another, before he or she leaves this planet. So when you see a righteous person, pray for that person. Even if that person doesn't seem to know Elohim yet. Even if that person may be in another religion. Because Abraham was from another religion. He was in a paganistic society. But guess what? He loved righteousness. He was a righteous man. And so he was called. And Elohim is not a respecter of person. He has done and will continue to do that for every righteous person, no matter where they're from, no matter what religion they're a part of. So going back again, if they are of us, if they are righteous, Elohim keeps them in his congregation, draws them to his congregation. If they are not righteous, he puts them out, so that we may know they're not righteous. And if we who are righteous are in a wrong congregation, he takes us out. He says, come out of her, my people, touch not the unclean thing. When you see something is unclean, where there's false, unclean doctrine being taught, you don't stay there. I mean, you just abandon. You have to raise your voice, male or female. Raise your voice. When I say raise, I don't mean shout, but let the voice of righteousness be heard in that congregation that you may be a part of. Who knows? They may repent and you gain your brothers and sisters. But if they don't repent, if they refuse, if they reject, as some of you have done, you've shared that with me, you've left. That's what we ought to do. And we ought to find the plain paths. We have to find the ancient paths, that which is from the beginning, which is what you and I are doing. It's not the new stuff that's being taught today. It's the things from the beginning, from the Torah, from the New Covenant Scriptures, and up to the first century. There are bishops, there are true ministers that wrote. We need to hold on to what they taught. Forget about, and I said again, unless there's proof, the teacher, whatever that teacher is that we might be listening to, has truly the gift of the Spirit and so on, take whatever he or she is saying with a grain of salt. Hold on to what was from the beginning. So I end with that. That says, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as he has taught you, abide in him. So again, verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, and let me end with verse 28 to 29. And now, little children, abide in him, Yeshua, so that when he appears to you, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Emmet, brethren. So this concludes our, there's so much more, of course, I could have said, but these are the ones I found important today to say. So I stop here. If anyone has a comment or question, please say on. Thank you.